Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
So the first thing I'm going to buy is I'm going to buy Aaron Rodgers for one more season with the Jets. I know he was asked yesterday on the McAfee show about playing another year, and if he were to play another year, he did say he thinks it would be with the Jets, but he's not sure if he's going to play another year. A guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is a bit of a textbook narcissist, there's no chance that this is going to be his final season. He comes back and he plays with the Jets next year. Remember, they essentially gave him every single thing that he wanted this year. He can't possibly bail on them and go play somewhere else. I think he comes back. I think he plays with the Jets next year, and I think they look at their defense, which has been the primary culprit for their 3-8 season, and look to revamp that and have one more swing at it with what would be at that point, what, a 41-year-old quarterback, Denton, right? He is 40 right now.
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
I'm buying Aaron Rodgers for one more year as a New York Jet quarterback next year. Go ahead.
I'm going to buy the Seattle Seahawks. I was super down on them the beginning of the season, but they played really well. They beat Arizona this week. They're on a 2-game win streak, and really what it comes down to, at least out of the NFC West, is I don't really trust anybody. I don't know that Arizona is all that great. I think they could push it a little bit, but I don't think they're all that great to win the division. San Francisco's hurt, and then it feels like Los Angeles. They are the quintessential box of chocolates. I have no idea which version of them I'm going to get on a weekly basis. So I'm going to take Seattle and their improvement, and I'm going to buy them.
I'm going to buy the Cincinnati Bengals. I forget if I did that last week or not, to make a run into at least a game late in the season that is do or die for postseason chances against Denver. They play Denver in the penultimate week of the season, the next last week of the season at home. I like their chances to beat Pittsburgh this week. They're actually favored over the Steelers this week at home. Pittsburgh's a much different team than they were last year, but man, I mean, their schedule, right? Just the Washington playing Baltimore, then getting caught in this blizzard game in Cleveland. They've got Cincinnati. They still have to play the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. I'm buying the Cincinnati Bengals, who are just lethal offensively. The quarterback is at a high level. The receiving tandem is as good as there is in football. They have Pittsburgh followed by Dallas, Tennessee, Cleveland before they finish with a home game against Denver and a road game against Pittsburgh. I think the magic number they've got to get to is 9, which means out of these final 6, they have to win 5. I'm predicting that they do it and that they snag that last wild card spot from Denver with a 9-8 record.
I'm going to buy
this. You would love that.
I would love that. It'd make my life complete. Yeah, Jaden and Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
Think about the threat they would be. No one would want to see Cincinnati, you know, as a 2 seed. Let's just say it's Buffalo or Kansas City. Nobody's going to want to see Cincinnati in a first round wild card game.
No. Not at all. I'm going to buy that Shador Sanders is going to be quarterbacking the New York Giants next year. I don't know if you saw, there's a video online of their general manager, Joe Shane, at the Colorado practice.
He's
this
not
going
to be the GM, is he?
I don't know, but I think they're really looking into Shador Sanders, regardless of who is the general manager, understanding that adding a Shador Sanders is going to inject a little bit of hype into the New York Giants, where they really haven't had that with Daniel Jones at quarterback, because Daniel Jones is like a plate of sand, personality-wise. So I think they're going to go for Shador Sanders. I think that's one of the major reasons, one, financially, but also because they don't want to win football games, which is why they went with Tommy DeVito. So I think they're looking at their guy. I think they found their guy in Shador Sanders, and I think right now they're in that process of, we are going to lose all of the games to make sure that we can get him.
Yeah, that would hurt my smell test pick tomorrow. Let me just tell you that, because everybody's on the Cowboys tomorrow. Who's going to start a quarterback tomorrow, DeVito or Locke?
I don't know that we have an answer to that, although they could still cover. You know, they could still keep it close in games and just lose.
3.5, yeah. All right, by the way, I'm kind of with you now on Shador Sanders. This is not going to be, at least going in to the NFL draft, this is not going to be the quarterback draft that last year was. I mean, few ever will be in terms of 6 in the top 12. I'm not a fan of any of them at this point. I'm not a big fan of any of them. To me, I still think that if I absolutely had to pick one early, I still think it would be Cam Ward. I think he'd be the one.
I think I'd probably draft him first, too, but I do think he and Shador are neck and neck. I just don't think either one are particularly outstanding now.
All right, I'm going to sell. This is tough because I believe in the coach and I believe in the toughness and the whole thing. But what I watched the other night, and quite honestly, I watched against, you know, the Bengals in the second half, the Chargers were being led by their defense. They're a well-coached team. They're a good defensive team. I think the Chargers might fall apart a little bit here. They play Atlanta Sunday. Atlanta's coming by. Then they go to Arrowhead. They have to play the very tough Buccaneers. They still have to play the Broncos again. I think when I mentioned Cincinnati getting into that playoff picture, it's because they could chase down Denver and they play them head-to-head. It's also possible that the Chargers fall back a little bit. I think I said, you know, mid-season, maybe even the first quarter of the season, although that would have been impossible, that an 8-9 team could make the AFC playoffs. I don't know that that's true, but 2 9-8 teams could make the AFC playoffs. Be careful on the Chargers the rest of the way. I think the last 2 weeks, defensively, they've been exposed a little bit. And they're playing a team in Atlanta on Sunday that has not been playing well, but their issue is defense. It's not running game. It's not offense. And Baltimore rushed for 212. Against the Chargers. In the last game against the Bengals, you know, the Bengals put up, you know, a well over 400 yards of offense, you know, with Joe Burrow throwing for 342, but they also ran for over 100 yards in that game. Prior to that, I think they played the Titans and it was a close game. We've talked about the Titans being, you know, more competitive, but the Titans were right there in that game. I think the Chargers, it's just such a fine line in all of those games between winning and losing. I think they lose enough to be right there on the line fighting with Denver and Cincinnati for the two of those final three spots. They're not a given for the postseason. I'm selling the Chargers.
I'm going to sell Dallas landing either Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel this offseason. You know, I was a little stunned at first when I heard that comment that we played yesterday of Jerry Jones saying that there's a potential Mike McCarthy is going to return next year. I thought it was pretty much a done deal that that would not be the case, especially considering that I believe you got to sign him to a contract extension. Like, his deal is up at the end of this year. So if you're keeping him, you're giving him a new deal and new money, and Jerry Jones does not like to fire people. That we know. So I think he said those comments because he's been trying to court Bill Belichick and or Mike Vrabel, and I don't think either one of those two are interested because Jerry has been even more tyrannical than he usually is at running the team this year and providing his coach with basically nothing to work with in certain areas. And on top of that, you got to have a discussion about what you're going to do with Micah Parsons coming up here soon. And Jerry just does not handle contracts well because he doesn't like giving up power. And I don't think you can be a guy that doesn't like to give up power and then have Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel come in, who both left their previous jobs because they wanted more power. So I think that's the reason Jerry made those comments. I'm selling that either one of the two hottest candidates on the market are going to end up in Dallas.
All right. My last sell is just this idea, and I don't think it's a legitimate idea, but that Bears offensive coordinator Thomas Brown could stick around next year with whomever they hire. That's just not going to happen. Eberflus isn't going to be the head coach next year. They're going to bring in somebody that's probably an offensive mind to begin with. And even if he isn't, if it's not Ben Johnson or somebody like that, and it's a defensive guy, I don't think Thomas Brown sticks. But just so you know, in terms of the change with Thomas Brown versus Shane Waldron in Chicago and how good this has been for Caleb Williams, DJ Moore went from averaging 9.8 air yards per target in weeks 1 through 10, and then after the change the last 2 weeks, 1.9 air yards per target. But the results on Sunday, in the two games, he's got 7 targets, 7 catches, 96 yards. That was Sunday, excuse me. But overall, in the last 2 weeks, he's generated 120 yards after the catch. I have no idea what Shane Waldron was thinking about during the first portion of the season with a young quarterback, but he was dropping him back way too much. And now they've gone to a lot of the quick stuff, a lot of the boot stuff, and Caleb Williams has looked the part the last 2 weeks. But Thomas Brown, no matter how they finish, unless they were to make some miraculous run, and those chances were discounted by the last two losses, even though they were right in the game, but he will not be Chicago's offensive coordinator next year. Did you have anything else?
I'm going to sell Jerod Mayo with the New England Patriots. I've heard these rumors over the past couple of weeks that there might be a decision to move on from him. I think there's something going on there, maybe behind closed doors, that we're not seeing that is leading to this being a bit of a disaster in New England. And still, despite that, Drake May has played relatively well in the games that he's played. Not perfect, but he's doing some really good things. I think they might try and move on and get an offensive mind to pair with Drake May, get a guy that can coach up an offense a lot better than what they have going on there in New England, and hopefully someone that can get talent around him. So I think Jerod Mayo might be on the outs already, which would be hilarious going from Bill Belichick to 1 year of Jerod Mayo and then having to fire him.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine who's a massive Patriots fan, and I actually reached out to him because I haven't seen any of Drake May, and he said, great arm, great athlete, just does not see it. Super slow processing, but they're excited about his arm strength and his athleticism. But to be fair, and I said this, who does he have? I mean, who's on that team that he can throw to? Like, nobody is. And maybe it's coaching as well. We'll see. All right. Quick smell test for the Thanksgiving Day games next.
Former Giants quarterback Daniel Jones has a new home. He made his decision, didn't get quite as hyped as LeBron's decision a couple of years ago at the NBA, but Daniel Jones deciding he will sign with the Minnesota Vikings turning down apparently offers from Miami, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Dallas, and a few other teams that rumoredly had interest in Daniel Jones. So he will now be currently the backup quarterback for the Vikings. In the NBA yesterday, the Wizards fell to the Bulls 127-108. Kyle Kuzma led the team with 23 points. Alex Saar tied his career high, his second ever 20-point game on 7 of 11 shooting. The Capitals in action tonight. They're on the road against Tampa Bay to take on the Lightning. The puck drops at 7:30. You can hear that one on 106.7 The Fan. Hunter Dickinson ejected last night in Kansas's win over Duke. That video going viral. He kicked a Duke player in the face. Didn't think I'd be siding with a Duke player on that one, but here we are. And UConn, number 2 in men's basketball. They fall again. Second day in a row. This time to Colorado, 73-72. There's videos rolling around the internet of Dan Hurley going crazy again after the incident with Memphis 2 days ago. And that's what's trending.